Over the past several months, we watched the destructive eruption of Kilauea claim some 700 structures, displacing whole communities. The lava activity has also opened the doors to research never before collected with the help of drones and undersea robotics. We talked to USGS volcanologist Wes Thielen about what seems to be a pause in the lava eruption and what may come next.
For a matter of weeks now, we have not had really any significant flow of lava down in the Lower East Rift, and the collapse in the summit has basically stopped. So it's very quiet up around the volcano right now.
And so there's nothing then going in the water?
So I did not look to see what the last overflight saw, but there was some dregs of lava that were draining out of various pieces in the lower part of the flow there that were still making it into the water the last time I checked. But that's sort of expected. That's not coming from the Fissure 8 vent. That's just coming from sort of just the stored magma that's in the that was in the tube system once the eruption sort of stopped.
And there's no real way of knowing what's going on.
I mean, I guess that's one way that you could put it. I guess the way that I would prefer to think about it is that we've got a situation where, you know, we certainly have some amount of hot magma that's still under the Lower East Rift Zone. And again, like we've done various times in this eruption, we can look to previous activity at this volcano and around the world. And what we find is that, you know, pauses in eruptions are fairly common. So one, you know, there's one outcome to this, which is that the eruption is over. And that's one possibility. The other possibility is that we could be in a pause. And we did see pauses in 1955 and 1960 down in the Lower East Rift. And a resumption of activity after that. And so we are constantly monitoring the volcano as far as either inflation or deflation goes, and whether or not there are earthquakes or changes in earthquakes or the types of earthquakes. So we're certainly monitoring the volcano and looking at the pulse of the volcano and trying to figure out whether or not we are within a pause or whether the eruption is over. And what we're, you know, the evidence based on our instruments is not definitive. So we don't know definitively whether or not we're in a pause or whether or not the eruption is completely over.
Well, even a pause would be welcome at this point.
Yeah, I mean, there are some conflicting pieces of evidence. So we have much lower rates of earthquakes. We have no inflation, so those are two lines of evidence that might suggest that things are pretty much over. But down in the Lower East Rift, we still see the certain fissures still have their temperature rising. So like Fissure 10 was reported to have a rise in temperature after the Fissure 8 eruption ended. There may be, and there's certainly anecdotal evidence from residents down in Leilani Estates that cracks are still forming and or extending. So there's still some evidence of activity down there in the Lower East Rift down around Leilani, but there's no lava that's coming out on the surface.
And talk about the earthquakes for a second, because we saw some pretty intense stuff for a while.
Yeah, so the earthquakes really dramatically ended at the summit, and we got in, you know, there was a situation there where we were seeing an earthquake with the equivalent energy release of a magnitude 5 every single day up there. And then all of a sudden in early August it stopped, and not only did the big one stop, but the little one stopped too. So if you remember, the big one was the one that was being felt more widely, but if you were close, the communities of Volcano and the golf course area, they were feeling the smaller earthquakes that were happening between these. And the small earthquake stopped and the large earthquake stopped. And now it's very, very quiet up in the summit area.
Okay. And then what about just the research? Talk about what you folks have been able to glean. Because you folks have had, you know, robots in the water. You've had drones up in the air collecting all kinds of really interesting basic data. But never to this magnitude, I guess, and for this length of time.
That's right. When the eruption started, we learned a lot about the magmatic system and how magma moves from the summit down to the lower East Rift. And throughout the eruption, we learned a lot about that. And as the eruption stops, we actually learn things about the magma system as well. So the speed at which the earthquake stopped and, you know, the Fisher 8 eruption down in the lower East Rift stopped rather dramatically. And the timing of those is really interesting from a scientific standpoint and gives us information that informs our model of how magma moves through the system and what the volcano looks like under there. And as we go through this either pause or as the volcano, let's assume for the sake of this conversation that or this argument that it's done, the way that the volcano would recharge is going to teach us a lot about how magma moves under the crust. And that's all that information is stuff that we couldn't glean in the continuous eruption that was going on from 2008 until 2018. We needed the system to change in a way that was giving us some different clues than it had given us between 2008 and 2018. So there's lots of different things, lots of different vectors that people are going on to figure out what's going on in different parts of the magma system. And that's, you know, that's our goal, is to be able to generate even just a conceptual model, a model in our head, a cartoon that we can use to better interpret a change in activity, earthquakes or inflation or deflation, interpret those in a way that can allow us to assess whether or not the volcano is in a hazardous state or not hazardous state. And the better our model is, that cartoon in our head, or even if we get into the numeric modeling, the better that model is, the better that we can assess whether or not the volcano is moving toward an eruption or not moving toward an eruption.
And you folks have had really a front row seat to this incredible experience. What's maybe the one thing that struck you with this latest phase?
I think the thing that has struck me when I was out there on the ground in Hawaii was just the human element. Being down in Leilani and seeing the just sheer volume of material that was coming out really left me in awe. But then looking around and seeing the destruction and the disturbance to people's lives and the juxtaposition of those two things was really pretty striking for me. From a scientific standpoint, having eruptions go on at the very, you know, tip as far as the island goes of the rift zone and up at the summit together was really a unique opportunity for us to understand more about the volcano.
Right, so while you're in awe of the power of this event, there's also the human toll that it's taken on the lives and that whole community there and the whole loss of the recreational area for that side of the island.
Yeah, and the hit on the tourist industry that has, you know, really impacted people who maybe their houses weren't directly impacted, but their businesses were because they weren't able to, you know, sustain that business through this current sequence when there just wasn't much for tourists to see or to do around the volcano. I mean, it's a tight-knit community in the area, and it feels like everybody knows everybody, and so everybody's touched, even if not directly. They know people, and they're having conversations, and they're sympathetic to the troubles that people are having, either because their houses were directly impacted by the magma or because their lives were impacted by the effects of the volcano.
That was Wes Thielen with the U.S. Geological Survey. He says the research from this latest phase will be formally presented at an upcoming geological conference in December.